Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So you might have heard now about this status yellow rain warning that has been issued by Met Éireann for 18 counties. We have all of Leinster impacted, Cavan, Monaghan, Leitrim, Roscommon, Tipperary and Waterford. There's a risk of localised flooding too in most of those counties. In a moment we're going to hear how the weather is impacting on our farmers. But first, with the very latest, I'm joined now on the line by Gerry Murphy, meteorologist with Met Éireann. Gerry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
And thank you for being with us. Now, that's the latest information I have on the status yellow rain warning. Has there been an update in the last couple of minutes to that, or is that as it stands?
That's as it stands for the moment. But what has been updated is the times at which the warning ends. So this is a band of rainfall, which is a front which is bringing some fairly heavy rainfall at the moment to the east of the country and really over the eastern half of the country at times. Though it must be said, not all areas, there's a bit of uncertainty with it. So not all areas are going to get huge amounts of rainfall, but some are from time to time. So everywhere is at risk of the heavier rainfall. Now, the main situation with it is that it is moving northwards. So for counties Carlow, Kilkenny, Wexford, Waterford and Tipperary, the yellow level rainfall warning ends at 4 p.m. and those areas can expect drier weather this evening. Then as it continues to move north, it's still going to affect, it's going to end in Kildare, Laois, Offaly and Wicklow at midnight. But then further to the north, including Dublin, Meath, Louth, Longford, Westmeath, Monaghan, Cavan, Leitrim and Roscommon, that rain is going to continue through the night. So it still ends at 4 a.m. So really, it's a wet day. But some of the rain is heavy. Some of the rain will cause some localised flooding and disruption to some people, especially people on holidays. It will make for an unpleasant day for many. But having said that, it is going to gradually move northwards, though the warnings tend to end much later, further north.
Okay, so if people can imagine, it's going from the east, moving across the country and up and out towards the north then. So you can imagine that the rain is going to fall pretty much throughout the day for those parts of the country that are affected.
Yes, absolutely. But it is going northwards. So having said that, in all of that, western coastal counties like Kerry, Clare, Galway, they may get the odd drop of rain, but they're not going to get very much if at all. So they'll have a reasonably good day, dry for the most part, though not completely dry. Mm-hmm. But really for the Midlands, further to the east and then up to the north, certainly wetter weather. And Donegal won't get rain until this evening, but it will get plenty of rain tonight.
All right, and overnight and perhaps into tomorrow then as well. So what is the outlook, Gerry, for the next couple of days?
Yeah, well, as you go into tomorrow then, the rain is still there over much of the north, of, we say, North Leinster and Ulster, but it's lighter and patchier. So it makes for a damp, murky sort of weather for these areas, but nothing significant in the rainfall. And then further to the south tomorrow, it's actually going to brighten up and be quite pleasant in Munster. Now, with that contrast tomorrow, there'll be a big contrast in the temperatures. There'll only be a bit, maybe 13 or 14 degrees over Ulster, but they'll get up to 19 or 20 in parts of Munster and South Leinster. And beyond that then, things improving really for Thursday and Friday with temperatures again mid to about 15 to 20 degrees. Not exceptional, but not too bad. And then over the weekend, a fair amount of dry weather, but some showers as well. There's no sign of a really big high pressure taking hold, which would keep the weather settled for longer. So we can expect some showers over the weekend and possibly some rain at times again next week. But there will be an improvement really from Thursday, Friday, and not too bad over the weekend.
Okay, so for all those people who were expecting a really good weekend, that's not really on the cards from what you're saying.
Well, we put it this way, it's not a bad weekend, but you couldn't hang your hat on an absolutely dry weekend either. Okay. There are likely to be showers in some places. I wish I could be more certain with the good news, but that's just the way it is.
Well, listen, exactly, and you can only tell it the way it is, Gerry. The temperatures then, I mean, you mentioned 20 degrees there, but is it fair to say that it has been a little colder in July than average, or what are the stats telling you?
Oh, absolutely. It's been quite cold. And it's not just in July. June was a very cool month, relatively speaking. In fact, June was quite a cool month overall, temperatures well below average. And for the early part of July, ranging from about 13 or 14 to 18 degrees, that's well below average as well by around 2 degrees, because normally in July you expect temperatures to be between about 16 and 20. But so far they've only been about, we say, 13 and 17 or 18. So so far the summer has brought below average temperatures, and they'll climb to slightly below average or around average over the rest of this week. But they're not going to climb to anything above average, really.
All right. Well, we'll see what the rest of it brings. Jerry, thanks very much. Jerry Murphy there from Met Éireann. Alice Doyle is with us as well, Deputy President of the Irish Farmers Association. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Claire.
So we
How
know,
are you?
I'm very well. We know the National Fodder and Farm Security Committee, they met yesterday to talk about the situation with the fodder. What is the state of play?
Yes, that's right, Claire. They met yesterday. This group meets on a reasonably regular basis, and it's really to monitor, you know, where the situation is with regard to fodder. So yesterday's meeting was a good time to meet because, yes, there is a bit of an issue with fodder at the moment in certain parts of the country. And we looked at it yesterday and looked at how we can deal with it and how we can provide for, you know, a good buffer for the end of the year when we will need it most. So the situation at the moment is that around the country, we have a number of farmers who are in a little bit of bother due to the fact that we had a very long winter and we had a very late spring, which meant that animals were kept in very late and didn't get out to graze. So they were feeding animals in the sheds, as you can imagine. And then the time when we should be coming and taking our fodder crop, we're a bit like squirrels. We have to build up our fodder supply at the best time of the year, which for us is April, May, June and possibly July. And we build it up and we have it for the winter then for feed. But as Jerry said there, the temperatures were much lower than usual for the main growing months for us, which would have been April, May, June, July. And the temperature was so low in the ground that grass didn't grow. So grass is our main fodder, our mixed silage, and that unfortunately wasn't able to grow at the rate that it should have grown. And because it didn't, we're finding that we have less fodder than we would normally have at this time of the year. And there's a bit of a problem in the case that some farmers are also eating into a little bit of the fodder that they did make in May, June. They're using it because the grass is growing, coming back, and they're supplementing the current, what they should be giving as grass, they're supplementing it with their either concentrates or with next year's feed. So we're eating a bit into next year's feed at this stage.
Mm-hmm. So it's about really managing what you have and looking at what your winter is going to look like, because some farmers,
exactly,
they would have hoped to get two cuts off the fields, wouldn't they, in the season?
But yes, and even up to three. Like what would happen is normally the first cut would be taken May, early June, depending on what part of the country you're in. It, you know, it varies slightly. And then a second cut would come fairly quickly after that. And then in some cases, a third cut would come later on in at the end of the summertime. And what people would be depending on would be those first two cuts, because that's when the strong growth is there, when we would expect to have that bit of heat in the ground, a bit of mild moistness in the air, which makes the grass grow. And when that would come, we would get our biggest crop in. That didn't happen this year. We got some, but we didn't get anything like what we'd like to. So the advice from yesterday would be that farmers have to be very careful now in managing their grass, in trying to get a third cut coming towards the end of the summer. They need to talk to their advisors to get the best possible advice as to how to manage this and how to get the optimum out of what we have available to us at this stage. So that was the biggest piece of advice yesterday. Talk to your advisor, look at what you have, do an inventory, work out what you're going to need and make the best possible effort to do that. As well as that, we're looking, I suppose, the biggest issue that came up yesterday, believe it or not, even when we talked about, you know, a problem, we can deal with that by trying to get if the grass grows, we take the extra cut, we can go for whole crop silage, which is taking, you know, wheat and barley as a whole crop off a field and making like a silage out of that and putting it in the pit. We can go for cash crops in between which will grow in a short period of time. So farmers can do all of that. But the biggest issue that we noticed yesterday, actually, which is compounding the problem here, is a cash flow problem on farms. And that is compounding the problem. The farmers haven't got the cash flow to buy extra concentrates if they need it. And that has arisen, I suppose, really because of the fact that a lot of money was spent on input costs. Our input costs are still very, very high. Our fertilisers, our seeds, our ESB, all of that, our contracting prices, they're all still very high. And the market price for our produce is still very low. Our beef, you know, our sheep, our milk, all the prices are still low. So that margin in between is getting smaller and smaller, creating a cash flow.
But there were subventions, though, weren't there? Government subventions on that front.
In the sense of for
grants in particular in relation to cash flow for Father Alice in particular.
Yes, there has been there had been in the past, but we're not at the not at this moment in time. There had been back in the winter time. Yes, there had been interventions there, and that got us through last winter. But now we're looking to the to next winter and dealing with that. So, but it's the cash flow created as a result of the lack of money coming into us in the, for our product and the high input costs. And we're, banks were on yesterday, the financial institutions, the co-ops were all on, and they were all saying to farmers, you know, look at your cash flow now, come and talk to us if you have an issue. Come early, okay. So we can avert any problem down the line. The same with the co-ops, you know, they're talking to the farmers. Farmers have to go and talk to their co-ops if they're, you know, finding a problem that their debt is rising with the co-ops because the milk price was down, particularly with the co-ops. The milk prices were down and the yield was down during the winter time.
All right, Alice, we'll leave it there, but I'm sure we'll be back to you again as the situation develops over the rest of the summer and indeed coming into the autumn and the winter as well. Alice Doyle there, Deputy President of the IFA. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.